I tell guys all the time, God made football. Football is fun because God made it. It's a good gift from the Lord. And I'm borrowing this from Jeff Curtis, but when a good thing like football becomes a God thing, that is a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. It's an idol that will not give you freedom, but chain you. And so when you're playing for the approval of other people or yourself, it actually robs you of the joy that you can have in playing this game.
Welcome to Stories of His Glory, a podcast where coaches, athletes, and partners of FCA share powerful stories of how Jesus Christ is transforming lives through the world of sports. Each episode, you'll hear real stories of people who've experienced the life-changing love of Jesus, stories that will encourage, challenge, and inspire you to see how God is moving in and through the world of sports and each of our lives. Stories of His Glory podcast is grateful to Copper Dog Waffles and Coffee for their support of FCA and youth athletics. Copper Dog is located on historic Main Street in Mandan and has the best gourmet waffles and custom coffee drinks. When you go, try my favorite, the Rookie, and definitely try pairing it with one of their amazing coffees. Stop in today for a unique experience, something unlike anything else you'll see in North Dakota. Sweet or savory, there's something for everyone at Copper Dog in Mandan.
Thanks for joining us for the first episode of the Stories of His Glory podcast in 2026. I'm your host, Ryan Jungling, and today's episode features FCA area rep at NDSU and former Bison linebacker, James Kaser. James, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having me, Ryan.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. This can be a lot of fun. There is a long list of accolades that you earned and were awarded while playing college football for the Bison, highlighted by three-time national champion. But in knowing you for the past 3 years, I know that that's probably not the first thing you tell people about yourself today. How do you best describe and introduce James Kaser?
Yeah. Well, as Paul says, I would count those things as rubbish compared to the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
But if I were to describe myself first and most importantly, I'm a child of God. And that's by His grace alone that He has adopted me into His everlasting family and brought me into His kingdom. And so that's my identity, what defines me. Secondly, I would say I'm a husband to my beautiful wife, Gracie. We've been married for over 4 years now. And then thirdly, I would say I'm a father to my precious children, Lydia, 2.5, and Silas, he is 9 months. So if you were to ask me who I am, I would say those in that particular order as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think that order actually really is important, right? Especially in a kind of culture today that, especially in, I would think even in sports culture today. Like, we're both in sports ministry, but as being athletes, how often parents get that order way wrong and put their children above everything else. And it's just really great that kind of figured you were going to go that way. And I really, really love that that's not just something you say, right? But that is how you are trying to live your life as you model it for your wife and for your kids.
Thanks, Ryan.
There's a reality that if somebody was watching NDSU football 2018 to 2022, they were probably going to see a linebacker on the field, number 26, running around and having quite a bit of success over those 5 years. So before we get to the NDSU years, like, what got you connected and started in football?
Yeah, so I come from a football family for sure. Ryan, you know, I have 9 siblings. 7 of them are brothers, 2 sisters. My dad played college football at St. Cloud State University. My 3 oldest brothers played at St. Cloud State. I had 1 play at Yale, 1 at Harvard. And then so I found myself at the Harvard of the Midwest, North Dakota State University.
I don't know about that, buddy. UND yeah, grad, so I can't let that one go.
So it was in my DNA and in my blood. But interestingly enough, I was actually the only one to play defense. Everyone else were offensive players.
Yeah. So I would imagine, how many older brothers?
So I'm number 8 on the list. So I'm on the bottom half.
Yeah. I would imagine the backyard football games in your house toughened you up a little bit.
Yeah, certainly. I could tell stories about a lot of things, Ryan, that probably shouldn't be shared on a podcast.
And maybe that's, maybe that explains the defense, right? Like people don't go out in the backyard and like, oh, I'm so excited to be the linebacker on defense. Everybody wants to be the quarterback and the wide receiver and older brothers. They were always probably starting that way.
Yeah.
That's really great. So did you feel, was there a pressure on you that you maybe put on yourself? Or maybe it was, I mean, it could have been by your siblings and stuff like that too, but you have all these brothers that play college football and at some pretty prestigious institutions, maybe not the most prestigious of football schools, but how cool to get to play at Harvard and Yale and that kind of stuff. Like, that's awesome. So did you feel some pressure?
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that was a grace of God in my life. Maybe we'll get into this as I share some of my testimony later. But that I had a family name that was known well. My dad, before he passed away in 2006, was the high school football coach at St. Cloud Tech, where I went to high school. Obviously, my siblings played sports and were fairly well known. So there was a name to represent, and that pushed me. But definitely also could be a detriment at times of putting just unneeded pressure on myself and living for maybe the approval or praise or satisfaction of others rather than for the glory of God.
Yeah. So like growing up, big family, what was your kind of faith journey like?
Yeah. So I grew up in the church, at least in my younger years. As we got older, sports, youth sports, Sunday basketball tournaments and so on and so forth kind of pulled us away. As I mentioned, my dad passed away when I was 7 years old. I grew up knowing about Christ. I probably heard the gospel. I was never really discipled in the scriptures, so I didn't know really what the Bible said at all. But if you would ask me, you know, I'm a sophomore in high school, senior in high school, are you a Christian? Do you believe in Jesus? I would have said, oh yeah, I believe. Like I probably could have told you Jesus died for sins, but that was about the extent of my theology. And the reality is it made no impact on the way that I was living my life. I was finding my identity in sports and the approval of others and relationships and a thousand other things, but in Christ.
Yeah.
And so when I came to college, go ahead. Were you gonna ask that?
Yeah, no, that's where I was going to ask you. So I guess tell us about that transition to going to college for you and what that was like.
Yeah. So as you asked earlier, in high school in St. Cloud, you know, people kind of know who I am. So there's a certain way I need to walk and talk to represent my family well. But then when I got to a new place, North Dakota State University, to play football, that was removed. And there was a new sense of freedom and I wasn't walking with the Lord. And so when I came to college, without getting into too many details, I lived a pretty normal college football player lifestyle, if you can imagine what that looks like and what that involves. And I did that for a few years. And the scary thing is, Ryan, is I actually loved it.
Yeah.
Football was going great. School was going well. I got a degree in engineering. The social life was going well. I had no intentions of ever changing my lifestyle or pursuing Christ. I was a slave to that lifestyle. And the reality is I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah. So how would you have, I guess maybe you answered the question, but when you think of success, I would imagine a lot of people would have looked at James Kaiser the first couple of years on campus and been like, that guy's got it all.
Yeah. In worldly standards, yes, I guess. But the deception of the world and of Satan is that he's holding out and the world's holding out, this will satisfy you. It give you fulfillment and satisfaction. And the reality is for people who have that, it's empty. That was me. I didn't really know it or was able to express it until I really started to study the scriptures and get around Christians, but I was empty. And when you actually like look at people like Tom Brady and so on and so forth, they'll even verbally express that, like, I had all this and it's still, I'm not satisfied. It's because we were made for something else, my friend.
Absolutely. Yeah, that back when Brady won his third Super Bowl and he's being interviewed and he said something like, there's got to be more than this.
Yeah, get me on the phone with that guy and I'll let him know. It's Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. I think there were a lot of Christians that were like, yes, we know. Like, of course there is. How cool that is something that you can share when you sit down with somebody. Like, I know that it's empty.
Yeah.
And so there's obviously a really important point that's going to happen where you're going to encounter Jesus in a way that you haven't before. and he's going to become very real to you. Why don't you take us there?
Yeah. Just as an encouragement, like if you're a Christian and you're listening to this podcast, like God has given you a specific and a particular story to minister to others. You know, there's nothing random or coincidental in the kingdom of God. It's all purposeful. He knows the end from the beginning, Isaiah says. And so for me, God's given me a story that relates well to the ministry that we're a part of, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, and ministering to NDSU athletes, which is my job right now. But as I was sharing, yeah, I'm 2 years into football at NDSU. We literally hadn't lost a game. I think we were 33-0, two national championships, school was going well, and everything else was going well. And so we just won another national championship. We beat James Madison. It was a great game. We won a game-winning interception and got done with that and did my usual post-game debauchery for a few days with some of my teammates. Went back home. And then for some reason, when I came back after that for the spring semester, this is 2020, around January, something just compelled me to go to this FCA meeting. So FCA had been meeting on campus for several years as a Wednesday night huddle, 7:45 to 9. Athletes, men and women get together to dig into the word, to encourage one another. And I had been invited probably 100 times, and I had said no 99 times with 99 bad excuses. And I had faithful teammates who were just inviting me to Bible study, to FCA, to church, on and on and on. But this time I went. I don't really know why, but really two things the Lord did in my heart that night as I sat there in the bleachers at the indoor track at NDSU was, one, the people, I just saw them in a different light. Like they had something that I didn't have, a joy, a peace. Mm-hmm. Like they had claimed to have a relationship with Jesus, but it was making no impact on my life. These people said they had a relationship with Jesus and you could see it. Mm. And I was attracted to that and just honestly stunned by that. And then secondly, they were doing a Bible reading challenge that evening, for kicking in the new year. This is January 17th, 2020. And you know, I'm sitting there in the bleachers and someone's presenting like, you need to read the Bible. Like it's the word of God. It's living. It's active. Just kind of giving a theology of the word. And then with this challenge to read it. And I remember sitting there thinking, you know, I'm a Christian. It's all about this book. And I have no idea what the book says. I need to figure out what it says. By God's grace, a friend that night, actually Jeff Curtis, who you should have on the podcast sometime, he was FCA rep and chaplain for the football team, came up to me just, again, randomly, I got air quotes here.
Yeah.
And said, hey, James, you know, you can listen to the Bible on your phone? I said, I have no idea. Like, show me how to do that. So he downloads a Bible app, shows me how to listen to it, which this is a great option for me because I was an engineering student. Mostly because I know they just did numbers and they didn't have to read. And so God used the medium of listening to the Bible. That night, I just went home and started listening in Genesis and kind of made a goal for myself to try to get through the whole Bible in 90 days. By God's grace, I was able to do that. And just like started with 30 minutes, then an hour, then 2 hours. And the word of God just became alive to me, living and active. And it was telling me things about my heart that I didn't know, but I knew were true. Telling me things about the world that I didn't know, but I know were true, and began to really pierce my heart. And so I'm driving to campus. I'm listening to the Bible. I'm walking on campus. I got my AirPods in. I'm listening to the Bible everywhere. I'm trying to listen and figure out what is so special about Christ. What is so special about this book? And God opened my ears and my eyes and my heart to realize that, you know, God had made me. I was made in his image. He's the creator of the cosmos. We're not just random cosmic accidents, but we were particularly and specifically made by God for a relationship with him. But like all humanity, I had totally run the opposite way. I'd fallen short of his glory. I was a slave to sin. I was really worshiping myself, which is the biggest sin, is the idol of self. But God doesn't leave us in that state. You know, I got to the New Testament and there was a couple. You know, you read the Gospels and you meet Christ and you hear his words and you see his miracles, and then you see him on the cross, not for his own sins, but for mine. And it was like, yeah, the scales, like Paul describes, were removed from my eyes to see the Lord of glory crucified for this sinner who's been drunk in bathtubs and all sorts of other debaucherous and sinful and shameful things that I'd be afraid to tell my friends or my family, but the Lord knew and he knows, yeah. and yet he looked upon me, said, yes, I'm going to die for him. And that just melted this heart of stone, really the love of God and the cross of Christ. And that you could receive this by repentance and faith, by childlike faith. It was like, you know, part of my theology growing up was, you know, you just be a good person. And, you know, don't be like as bad as everyone. Like, you know, heaven, God grades on like a bell curve. And as long as you're top 50, no, yeah. that's not how it works. And so when, like, I read like Ephesians 2, like, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of works. It's like, no, grace through faith. I can receive all of these blessings in Christ, forgiveness of sin, adoption into his family, everlasting life, a new family of brothers and sisters in Christ. All these, I mean, the list goes on.
Yeah.
By faith. It was like, why didn't anyone just sit me down and just like beat this into my head and really... Yeah, share it with me. But I just didn't have ears to hear it's a reality.
Yeah.
But that's what happened. And right as that had happened, you know, I'm reading the Bible, COVID happens. And I know COVID was hard for a lot of people, but it was a blessing to my soul. Because right as I began to follow Christ, God's opening my eyes, all of my idols were essentially stripped away, or the main ones with football, with partying, various other things as well. And all I had was time. You know, so many people, you know, say, you know, I'll read the Bible when I have time, or I'll focus on this when I have time. And COVID was like the Lord saying, okay, here you have time. Now, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
And so I had all this time in God's kindness. My best friend from high school, who also wrestled at NDSU, Oster Brenner, also became a Christian. And so we just hunkered down in our basement. The world is shut down. We're not really seeing anyone. We just got time. And so we're reading the scriptures. We're trying to figure out, you know, what does it look like to follow Christ? We're watching church online. We're watching YouTube sermons and just growing. We were just infants in Christ. I'm still an infant, I guess. We're all first graders in the Lord. We don't really graduate until we get to glory.
Yeah.
But we were growing. It was a blessed time. And then we got back to football. And, you know, it was a strange thing, I think, for a lot of my teammates. Because I had left, like COVID, we all go back home, and they had known a particular James. And then I come back and I'm just different. And I'm the Jesus freak Bible thumper who's talking about Christ and not doing the things with the guys anymore. And that was a hard time, but I think God used it. Got to see some of my teammates come to know Christ as well through a Bible study and some witnessing. And that was a delight and a treasure, and some of my best friends to this day. Jalen Sundell, he plays for the Seahawks, brother in the Lord. Jackson Hankey, brother in the Lord. He was a middle linebacker. So we had just rich fellowship on the team from that. There was men just pouring into my life and showing me what it means to follow Christ. And that's where I'm at now. We can talk about ministry and other things, but
for sure,
that's kind of how God saved me, how he grew me up in Christ. Again, all of this abounding to his glory. I didn't figure it out on my own. He called me out of darkness into his marvelous light and made me an ambassador of him.
Yeah. I think just over the last number of years in particular, as I've talked to people, the number of people that it's not a big event. It's not that they went to a concert. It's not that they even heard a sermon. The answer is often like, I read the Bible and God revealed himself to me, which is just so powerful. The word is living and active. And I just think that's incredible how God used Jeff to step into your life and just meet you where you're at, the power of hearing the word. I know you've known this, but over the last like year, we've done a lot more of public reading of scripture as an organization in our area and stuff. And just like, that's how people read scripture for most of human history. It's been read out loud, and to hear the words of scripture is really, really powerful. And so how cool that that's a really huge part of your testimony.
Yeah. And by God's grace, you know, I love to read now. It's one of my favorite things to do. If I have extra time, I'm going to read. So God, even when he makes someone a new creation, when you're born again, he doesn't just, you know, change you in this just a merely spiritual sense, but like your whole personality changes, your giftings, what you desire, your affections. I'm ministering to a guy right now. I won't say his name, but when I first met him, he could barely talk to me. He was so socially awkward and just like really struggled. Shortly after we began meeting, he became a Christian, totally a new creation, born again. The fruits of the Spirit are evident in his life. And now he's just like this loquacious, gregarious like personality. Yeah. He's outspoken, even doing some preaching and teaching. And like his whole personality has just transformed.
Yeah. He's been
so that's just the,
he's been made alive. Yeah.
So just the power of the Spirit in changing people.
That's amazing. So you kind of talked about, because you had like 2 years in to football and then God saves you. Yep. And then you have 3 years of football left. And you talked about kind of the return. And I'm sure that that was really, really hard when you go back. Like you had mentioned, like the James of old was not doing what the James, the reborn, right? James was doing. How did that affect how you played on the field? Did that affect like the, I'm sure it had an impact, but what kind of impact did that have on your football career?
Yeah, I would say the biggest thing is just freedom in playing. You know, it's not, the promise is not follow Christ and you're going to become an All-American and so on and so forth. By God's grace, I had good seasons after that, but really the difference is freedom in Christ, because now my approval isn't based upon, you know, what the Twitter feed says about James Kaiser or how many tackles James has or what the fans are saying or my coaches, but my approval is already purchased and won and secure in Christ. Therefore, I have actually freedom to play and enjoy this game. You know, I tell guys all the time, God made football. Football is fun because God made it. It's a good gift from the Lord. And I'm borrowing this from Jeff Curtis, but when a good thing like football becomes a God thing, that is a bad thing. It's a terrible thing. It's an idol that will not give you freedom, but chain you. And so when you're playing for the approval of other people or yourself, it actually robs you of the joy that you can have in playing this game. So that'd be the biggest thing that I would say. And then playing with brothers like Jackson Henke. So we kind of came to Christ at a similar time. He was playing Mike linebacker, which is middle for our non-football listeners out there. I'm playing Will linebacker, which means weak side. So if you ever see, you got defensive linemen, they're right next to the football. The guys who are about 5 yards behind them, that's the linebackers. Then behind them, those are the defensive backs. So I'm a linebacker. I'm in between. And the guy right next to me, Jackson Henke, he's actually planting a church here soon. We came to know Christ together. And now we're getting to play football together. And like, we're ministering to each other during the games. Like, we're on the bench preaching truth to each other. We're encouraging each other. And so that relationship was so unique. And even, it was funny, we're on the planes, you know, we're traveling all over the country to these different games and teammates are sleeping or watching movies or whatnot. And here is Jackson and I, we got our little lights on in the planes that, you know, are never quite bright enough, but there's enough.
Yep.
And we just got the word opened, or like, I remember Jackson was reading Evidence That Demands a Verdict by Josh McDowell, and we're talking about the things of God, and just a really rich friendship that I got to have through football. I share all that to say, like, the brotherhood, there's definitely a, like, when you're just playing sports, kind of like if you're maybe in the military, there's a certain, like, brotherhood that's just, because you're in the trenches doing hard things together every day.
Yep.
Getting up super early, throwing up at lifts, like, there's a unique bond that comes with those things. But that bond looks shallow compared to the bond that can be had with brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
And so I really got to experience that. It was like a double blessing, playing Bison football together and then to be brothers in Christ together with a few gentlemen. So that's one of my most treasured memories from playing those 3 years.
Yeah, for sure. And then to have other people around you, right? Like you and Jackson are new Christians and trying to figure this out and trying to learn and hungry, but then to be surrounded by people like Jeff and coaches that love Jesus and the impact that has. So could you talk a little bit about that? Because I think that's, I had a conversation recently with somebody who said that one of the worst things that we can do is to take a young Christian and just walk away from them, to just put them, leave them on the curb to fend for themselves. And I know that you were surrounded by people that wanted to help you see and learn and grow to know Christ more.
Yeah. Yeah. One comment, and then I'll get into some of those relationships. You know, when someone first gets saved, you know, the the zeal is up here. I'm putting my high, my hand very high. The zeal is high.
Yeah.
The character is pretty low.
Yeah.
And those edges need to be softened. You know, keep the zeal, but the character up here. As a new Christian, you need brothers and sisters around you to kind of expose some of those things and to help walk with you in that. And I would say, like, man, if I regret something playing football, it was probably some of that. Like, I feel like some of the conversations that I have and the way I handle myself right away and when I became a Christian. You know, I was excited and zealous to tell about Christ, which we should, amen, but maybe not with gentleness and patience as the word calls us to. Yeah. So yeah, when I first got saved, my linebackers coach, Grant Olson, he was walking with the Lord for many years. He actually played linebacker as well at NDSU. Maybe let me circle back. So kind of part of my story is I came in as a strong safety. There was a really good guy in front of me that asked me if I wanted to move to linebacker to fight for this position. I said, yeah, I don't care anyway. I can get on the field. I'm down for that. So my sophomore year, I switched to linebacker. And so then I got put in Coach Olson's room. And I remember when I got there, man, this guy is weird. Why isn't he, you know, doing everything else everyone else does? Right away, we kind of butt heads because of that. But after coming to know the Lord, he's one of my best friends to this day. But he was really an example to me of what it looks like to be a godly husband and to be in a profession that just frankly can be very idolatrous with football and actually do it faithful to the Lord. And there's been a long line of linebackers who know Christ. And a big reason for that is just Coach Olson has and his witness.
Yeah.
And additionally, I had Jeff, who was walking with me. I got plugged into River City Church in Fargo right away, where a handful of other football guys were going. And so I just had a lot of people by God's grace who were walking alongside me and keeping me on, for the most part, the straight and narrow.
Stories of His Glory is brought to you by North Dakota Fellowship of Christian Athletes, where our mission is to lead every coach and athlete into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ and His church. Across North Dakota, FCA is on the ground in weight rooms, huddles, and classrooms, building up bold leaders of faith through sports and scripture. Whether it's a student athlete discovering Jesus for the first time, or a coach finding strength in community, lives are being changed every season at FCA. Want to be a part of the movement? Visit fcand.org to get involved or support the mission. Now, let's get back to the story.
Let's think about a listener who's hearing this and is in some other, we'll say it's in some other college program that James is not able, they're not able to walk in and see you specifically, James, but somebody's like James from 2020 and God does a miraculous work and saves them. What would be your advice to somebody who's a new Christian on a campus playing sports? What's some advice that things that by God's grace you got right because of how God had moved way before you ever, you know, opening up Genesis 1. So what would be some suggestions that you would have?
Yeah, there's many things, but I'll hit some big ones. The most important thing in your Christian life is your communion with the Lord. And how we commune with Him is through His Word, through prayer, through memorizing His Word, through fellowshipping with other believers. So ordering your life in such a way that is the priority. I think John Piper once said this, like, no Bible, no breakfast. Like, you need to get into the Word before you get into some grub. And if you live by that, you're going to either be really, really hungry or you're going to be godly. And so put your face in the scriptures and study them and spend time with the Lord, not to just, I think maybe here's a problem with a lot of young Christians. You read the Bible to just refute other worldviews or refute other religions instead of reading the Bible to commune with the living God. So reading the Bible for the expressed intent of finding Christ, communing with Christ, responding to the Lord in prayer, and then doing that with other people. You know, we have our private disciplines of studying the Word and prayer and fasting and some other things as well. And then we do that corporately, going to church and getting fed by pastors, getting fed by other brothers and sisters, praying together corporately. Now, the challenge for the college student is his time constraint, because the reality is you're just busy the higher up you are as well. NDSU and FBS football, you're going to be very busy and you're going to be tired as well.
Yep.
With that said, a minister to college students if you look at that screen time, I can find you some time. The reality is we spend a lot of time wasted on our phones. And if we can find some self-discipline and feed our souls with his word, there is really more time than you think in the day.
Yeah.
But you're going to be as useful to the Lord as you are, as rich as your communion is. And what I mean by that is, I think people can get, here's a jab, or who is this? Tozer, I think, talks about this, A.W. Tozer. You know, a young man will get saved and he's zealous. He has newfound faith, like he's excited. And so he sets himself in the scriptures. He's praying. He's memorizing things. He's reading other books and he's spending a lot of time with that. And then he finds himself useful to the Lord and discipling and leading Bible studies and asked to do things at church. And God is using him as an instrument in his hand. But then he gets so busy with those things and the things of life that he neglects what made him useful in the first place.
Yeah.
And again, I'm paraphrasing Tozer there. And right. So for the young Christian is like, build those disciplines and those habits to seek the Lord, to find him, to commune with him, to have fellowship with him, and then carry that through your life. And you're gonna be used of God. You're going to have joy and peace. Life's going to be hard. Following Christ is not easy in this world, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
So that was a lot. So if you're that listener, I hope at least one or two things you can grab there.
Yeah. I like how God revealed himself to you through your earbuds.
Yeah.
Right? Like just, it seemed like at that point, like you couldn't get enough. Like I just need to listen to the word. I need to know what's in this book. And I mean, it's absolutely life-changing. And just like that was the piece that God used to reveal himself to James. And I think that's super powerful, that just simply listening. Where do you have people start?
When, like in the Bible, you're saying?
Yeah, in the Bible. Where do you guide people to start that haven't been in the Word and haven't read the Word?
On the Bible app on your phone, there's a 90-day New Testament reading plan. It's 2 to 3 chapters a day, which is very attainable. I mean, you can do that in 15 minutes. So I usually encourage people there. And then right after that, I explain Matthew chapter 1. Here, you're going to start reading the Bible. It's going to be a bunch of names. It's going to be a genealogy, but it's very important. It's telling the whole Old Testament story that Jesus is the long-awaited Messiah. Because, you know, you can point people to Matthew and then their first experience in the Bible is a genealogy, but maybe a lot of times I point people to John, which is very common. Like if you're just going to read a gospel, the Gospel of John would be great. And you can just read on through to the rest of the New Testament.
Yeah.
But then once you've read the New Testament once, circle back, go Genesis to Revelation and get the whole story, because the Bible is a big story. And one of the things that convinces me like that the Word of God is true is it's a cohesive story and it's a logical story. I mean, 40 different authors, 3 different continents, 1500 years, and it all tells one story about one person, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's divinely inspired is what that means.
Yeah, for sure. And all of the, I think culturally people would say that some parts of scripture are, you know, very not progressive from today. But the reality is a lot of scripture is so far in advance of what the culture was at the time. And there's just story after story after story. You talk about genealogies and you look through the genealogies and you see in the genealogy women named, which was so not what the culture was doing at the time. You see in the Christmas story, the shepherds, which were not highly respected people. You see Jesus showing up to a small town, right? The King of Kings and Lord of Lords showing up to not to the royal palace. And like, for me, that's so convincing that like, nobody would make this up. It's because it's divinely inspired and true. Yeah. And I just find so much confidence in that fact. So you finish up your college career with football. You were involved in your church. You had this incredible impact from your coaches, from Jeff Curtis. You were a part of FCA regularly. You have a degree in engineering. And you decided that God was calling you to ministry. So what was that like when you were wrestling with that? Was it a wrestle or was it a, this is pretty clear, this is what I'm supposed to do?
It was definitely a wrestle, which I think is most people when they come into ministry. I got married when I was a junior in college. So I was already married to my wife and trying to figure out, you know, how can I provide for my family and steward this gift that God has given me. And like you said, I had football was an option, engineering was an option, and then FCA was an option. And it was all the way up until I think 2 weeks before I graduated, I still didn't even know what I was going to do. One thing that I did know I was going to do, or I really aspired to do, is my church had kind of an in-house theological seminary part-time that Jackson and some other friends were doing, that they were just growing so much. And so I wanted to join them in that, in those studies. And so that was really attractive. And so I ended up choosing to do that. And then with that, through some crazy providences, God made it clear that I needed to do FCA ministry, or that he was calling me to that. That's maybe a story for another podcast.
Yeah.
But God, right after I graduated, I started this River City Institute and started working part-time with FCA, and did that for 2 years, and was just getting poured into again by the local church, growing in my understanding of God's word and who he is, and then also getting to kind of take the study and bring it to the world on campus at NDSU with the student athletes there. And now I've transitioned to a full-time role with FCA at North Dakota State.
Yeah. So who do you serve at NDSU?
For my role, I mostly serve the male athletes and helping disciple and facilitate and start Bible studies, doing campus outreach with them and doing evangelism, praying with them, really just pouring my time into the athletes so that they can then influence, Lord willing, the rest of the campus.
Yeah, for sure. I remember the first time I met you, James, was probably after midnight when I showed up to boot camp in Kansas City, and I walk in the room and I feel like one of your first words to me was, "I'm pretty tired and I'm going to go to bed." And then I think like 2 hours later, we finally got some sleep before boot camp. But just like, you just have an incredible story, and it's really cool how God has used that to draw others to him. And for you personally, like, God has just gifted you in such a way that you have just tremendous impact on campus. You are very willing to share. And let's go back a little bit. One thing you had talked about is, like, you weren't a reader, but God makes a whole new person. He makes all things new. What are some things that you learned about yourself that were not a part of James Kaiser prior to knowing Christ, that have become things that God has really used for you to reach people for him?
That's a good question. Well, what I learned about myself is that I'm very broken before Christ. A lot of us try to pretend that we're doing mighty fine and everything's okay. And the reality is, living in a fallen world and being sinners, all of us are broken and dealing with things.
Yeah.
And I think God exposing that, some of my story, losing my father, has given me a compassion and a heart for those who are suffering and struggling. Mm-hmm. And the reality is, athletes are a lot of the time. So that'd be something God kind of reworked to then use as a kind of tool or an avenue into ministry. And then, yeah, just a passion and a love for reading both the word and books about the word, and sharpening my understanding of who God is. You know, the Christian life is more than just doctrine, but it's not less than that. It's a true knowledge of God. Like, the more you know God, the greater your communion will be with him. Yeah. It's like, the more I know my wife and what she likes and what she dislikes and so on and so forth, like, the better relationship I have with my wife.
Yeah.
And so it is with God. And where we learn about God is specifically in his word. And in the world, we can learn much as well. So with that, just bringing that to people, you know, my job is really pretty simple. I share the gospel with people, and I open the Bible with people, and I pray with people, and try to point them to Christ. Because I love this quote. This is kind of a compilation of Jonathan Edwards and Paul Washer, but he says, this is Washer, "The only thing that I bring to my ministry is my weakness, and the only thing I bring to my salvation is my sin." And that's the reality. Like, the Bible calls us jars of clay. There's nothing really too special about a jar of clay. But inside the jar of clay is this very, very special thing, which is the Spirit of God and then proclaiming the gospel of hope. And so I think, like, people in my ministry that will sit down and realize, you know, I'm just a regular dude like everyone else, but Christ is not. And let me tell you about him. And so those are some things I feel like the Lord has just kind of shaped me to be able to do the work that I'm doing.
For sure. Yeah. Let's go back to the people that you are ministering to, whether that's somebody on campus at NDSU that's listening to this, or somebody else who's a new believer. like you've now read a lot. And if you
relative, my friend,
well, read a lot compared to where you were.
Yeah, yeah. Man. You know, I like to joke, the last book I probably read before the Bible was Diary of a Wimpy Kid in fourth grade.
So where would you, or where do you send somebody, obviously to Scripture, right? We're going to send them to Scripture. But if they're like, I need something else, where would you send somebody?
Are you asking like books or podcasts? Or?
Yeah. Let's start with a book.
A book. This is such a hard question. You know, I have a list of the books that I should pull up my Google Docs. I just sent someone some of this. A great book to start would be, I just mentioned him, so he's on my mind, but Paul Washer, he has a book called The Gospel's Power and Message. And it really, like, what is the gospel? In Christian circles, talk a lot of times like the gospel, gospel-centered this, gospel-centered that. But like, what is it? And that book just lays it down. So that would be one that I recommend. Another read would be J.C. Ryle. He has a book called Holiness. He's, I want to say 19th century. I can't remember the exact date. He's an older guy, but very readable as well. And that's just about like personal holiness. So that'd be another book that I recommend. Yeah, we could maybe drop some in the show notes as I think more. But those are two to start. But really, the Christian life can be boiled down to two things. So read things like this that cause you or help you know God more.
Yep.
And then two, cause you or help you be more like Christ. Like,
for sure.
Those are really the two great pursuits we're after, knowing God and being like Christ. And so consume content, books, podcasts, sermons, et cetera, that are helping you and aiding you in those two things, knowing God and being like Christ.
Yeah. I think we can get distracted by the self-help, self-improvement side of things. And so I think having a couple of resources that people could turn to, right, I think is really good. So let's go. You brought up podcasts. Outside of the Heart of Flesh podcast, I will do the plug for you. Heart of Flesh podcast, which is something that James and I think it's Jackson, right?
Yep.
That you guys both are involved in that. Any other podcasts that you send people to? Because like you said, the listening, right? Especially college athlete, doing a lot during the day, throwing on a podcast and listening when you're walking to the facility might be something that works.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, there's seasons in the Christian life, you know, you're like get on a podcast and you just eat that up. And then a year later, you're on something else. So what I'm feasting on right now is something called Bible Talk. It's a podcast by Nine Marks, and it's three gentlemen, and they just walk through the scriptures 1 to 2 chapters at a time, starting in Genesis, and it is just excellent. And they know the scriptures in such a way that they're able to point out so many things and make so many applications and implications that being a young Christian and not as smart as them, I don't see. They open that door to. So, and it's a very digestible, easy to listen to podcast, entertaining. So Bible Talk might be a good source if you're trying to like say read the Old Testament for the first time.
Yeah.
And maybe you have no Christian background. This would be a great podcast to just listen and feed and see, man, there's so much here that you didn't even know and see.
Yeah. And I think that's really important to partner, especially like you said, especially in the Old Testament, to partner somebody explaining it to you, because if you're not looking for it, especially early on when you're reading scripture, you might not see Jesus in Exodus. When you learn something, right? Like that aha moment, and it changes everything for you. I think that's an awesome reference there to.
Yeah. And the reality is, man, like the people before us, they knew the Bible better than us.
Sure.
Which is sad, because we have so many resources, books and Bibles and podcasts and so on and so forth. And sadly, I think we neglect much of them.
Yeah. One other thing you brought up earlier was the idea of scripture memorization. And, you know, to be perfectly honest, this is not my strength, trying to get better at it, trying to do more of it. But I know that it's something that really matters, and you're pretty passionate about it. Why don't you talk just a little bit about that, maybe some of the ways that you guide people that you meet with to memorize scripture?
Yeah. First thing, so if you want to learn more about, I'm just going to give a few brief comments, but Heart of Flesh, we do have a podcast episode, 30 minutes long, just on kind of the system that I use and kind of advocating and encouraging people to memorize the Word of God. But how kind of God set me off on this is we were actually at an FCA retreat 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah.
And there was a gentleman preaching that weekend, Pastor Chris Bronze, and he was like, everything he said came out of his mouth was the Word of God. He wasn't flipping through his Bible. I was just like blown away by that. So we ended up talking afterwards, and he had shared with me that, yeah, for the last 30 years, I've been using this scripture memorization system. It's so simple, a child can do it, but it's radically changed my life. I said, okay, brother, please share. So we sat down and he had a document that he sent me, but it's really as simple as saying the word as many times as you can out loud. So the first day, you pick a verse or a chapter of scripture, start small, slow and steady is the way to do it. But say it 25 times out loud, the next day 20, the next day 15, the next day 10, the fifth day 5, write it on an index card and then review it in a systematic way. That way you're retaining the information. I have a document maybe you could put in the show notes, Ryan, on this where people can find it at Heart of Flesh.
Yeah.
But that's part of the system that I use. But nothing special about the system. The best thing about the system is that it is a system.
Yeah.
But the reason for memorizing scripture, I mean, there's so many exhortations in the word of, you know, letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, or meditating on the law of the Lord day and night. There's only one way to do that, and that's to have it stored up in your mind and in your heart. Or Psalm 119, how can a man keep his way pure? And it's according to his word. Or the psalmist says, like, I've stored up your word in my heart that it might not sin against you. Like, people in the past have been memorizing God's word. Jesus knew the Bible and it was stored on his heart. I mean, it's just a great, so many blessings that come with memorizing God's word and just creating a daily discipline of doing that. So I could do a whole nother hour long podcast on that, but that's what I'll share for now.
Yeah, no, I think that that's absolutely critical, because that was very revealing to me as well when Chris kind of shared, because he ended up, because of your conversation and some other people's conversation with him, he ended up sharing the system like the last day with us, like how he does it. And, you know, I've been around the church for almost my whole life. I had never heard of a system for memorizing scripture that was like, it's pretty simple. It's a daily discipline. But it helps to memorize scripture. And so I wanted to highlight that, because I know that it's something that somebody could take away that have been following Jesus for a long time, that they might not have a system. And it is a system, like you said.
I like to tell people, you know, God's given us all these, theologians call them like means of grace. Not that we're earning God's favor, but these are ways that we grow in Christ-likeness, grow in our relationship with the Lord. And what I mean by that is like reading the Bible, praying, memorizing scripture, corporate worship. Those are kind of means of grace, generally speaking. And one of them is like memorizing the Word of God. But for a lot of us, like God's given us all these tools to get stronger in Christ. It's like a gym. And for a lot of people, all they do is bench press or do bicep curls. And they neglect to use the other mechanisms and means in which God has ordained for us to grow. For example, fasting. For a lot of people, that's just rotting in the corner of their spiritual life. Scripture memorization would be another one of those, like, to go forth with the analogy, like the squat rack that no one is going to grow, but we're missing out on intimacy with the Lord and Christ likeness. So use all of the things that God has given us to be able to grow, and scripture memorization is certainly one of those. So just an exhortation to devote yourself to that. It takes 5 to 10 minutes a day. You will be immensely blessed.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Where else do you want to go with this as we kind of wrap up? Is there anything that's on your mind, on your heart that you want to wrap up with?
That Christ is better than the world and everything. All of us, athletes, non-athletes, coaches, everyone alike, are being pulled in 1,000 different directions away from the Lord. But as Jeremiah 2 says, like, those are broken cisterns. Like, they can't hold the living water. Jesus, he says in John 7, if anyone's thirsty, and what he's talking about is not physical thirst, but spiritual thirst, longing, looking for satisfaction, which everyone is. Jesus says, if anyone is feeling that, if anyone's thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And that's the invitation from the Lord of glory to us as broken and sinful people. Come to me and drink and be satisfied, not only in this life, but so much more in the life to come. So what I want people to know about this podcast or my story is not to like, oh, what a great message, or like, oh, what a great story, or what a great this or that, great words. Like, oh no, like what a great savior.
Amen.
Like the only reason this podcast exists, the only reason FCA exists is because Jesus Christ, which we're going to celebrate. I know you said at the beginning of this podcast, it was 2026, but let me just pull this out. This is before 2026.
Yeah.
It'll get released. We're about to celebrate Christmas in 2 days here. Like the Lord of glory stepped down from heaven in humility and meekness and came to the world as a baby to live a perfect life for us, to die for our sins, to rise again for our justification, so that all those who would come to him, recognize they're thirsty and broken and needy, come to him in faith, can be satisfied and have their sins forgiven and everlasting life. And so I hope, you know, wherever you're at today, that you can think about that, because that is really the most important question in the whole world is not, where am I going to go to school? Who am I going to marry? What am I going to do for a job? The most important question in the whole world is, do you belong to Jesus Christ? Like that, you should be thinking about that. And if the answer is yes to that, then you have a reason for rejoicing today. And you have a big reason for rejoicing today. And if that's not you, the invitation is held out right now. Come to him.
Yeah. On a Christmas card that I sent out, I just scripture, John 1:14, the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And I just like, I couldn't even get past that. Like the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And just like God, the creator of it all, who came down to dwell among his people that were broken and sinful and needing a savior. And as you were saying, as we celebrate Christmas coming up, and that's the baby in a manger, not just the baby, but the reality that Jesus came to die on the cross with a purpose. And like you said earlier, for you, James, for me, for listeners, and praise God for that.
Amen.
Thanks again for being part of Stories of His Glory. If today's episode inspired you, take a moment to share it and be sure to follow or subscribe so you won't miss what's coming next. Psalm 96:3 reminds us to declare His glory among the nations, His wondrous works among all peoples. The field is yours. Now go glorify Him.